Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
There you go. Time to talk music news. It'll sound better edited when Rock takes us to post-production this way. Believe me, better for all of us. With our music guy, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
We are great.
Yeah, doing great. How are things in Michigan?
They are, you know, sunny, and we'll take that. Sunny and relatively warm.
A heat wave yet this year? You've been through one, right?
We've had one.
Okay. I think that's about where we are.
And there will be more, so, you know, we'll just...
Sure.
This is why we all love where we live.
Ride out the long, hot summer.
That's it.
Heat Wave was a song, not a band, right? Linda Ronstadt. Heat Wave, right. We're riding Groove Line?
Groove Line,
right. Okay. Yeah. We're riding on the Groove Line.
So it was a song and a band.
And a song, yeah, yeah. Right. Because Linda Ronstadt had Heat Wave.
Right, she had, yeah. Well, actually, that's Martha Reeves had Heat Wave before Linda Ronstadt.
Linda was the queen of cover.
Oh, yeah, she did great with them. We have Between Tumbling Dice and Blue Bayou and, you know, so many others, Ooh Baby Baby.
Hey, no one says you can't be the queen of cover. She did it well.
She did it great. She had a great voice. And she's back out on tour, right? I mean, she's not singing.
Who is this?
Isn't Linda out on tour, like, doing, like...
She's doing some, I wouldn't call it a tour.
Okay.
But she's been doing a few appearances. I mean, she is speaking to the Parkinson's community and trying to be helpful in that way. And good on her for doing that.
She had a really strong voice in her heyday.
It was a pretty powerful voice.
I watched her talk about it. They asked her, well, can you sing now? And she says, no, I can't sing. But
right.
She can talk. And they said, well, what happens when you try and sing? And she said, well, it just sounds like screaming. I have no control over my voice because of Parkinson's.
Right.
So,
right,
which has got to be horrible for somebody who had such command over their voice for all those years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember when Maurice White kind of disappeared from Earth, Wind, and Fire, they weren't forthcoming initially that he in fact had Parkinson's, but that's what happened to him, too. He was not able to sing anymore, so he chose to be private about it until a certain point when it was about to come out anyway.
Well, you know, when you make your living on a physical ability, like playing a sport or singing or something like that.
But you would think singing is going to hang around a little longer.
It does, but even so.
You have to remember it's a muscle, and you know, just like any bicep, tricep, deltoid, anything you would use in sports, you know, it's a muscle that suffers wear and tear, and you have to take care of it and train it in order for it to sustain.
Speaking of aging singers, birds?
This is actually kind of exciting for the fall. So two of the founding Birds members, Roger McGuinn and Chris Hillman, have announced that they're going to do shows to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Sweetheart of the Rodeo album. That was really the first shot. There was certainly country rock around before then, but that was that album, which was when Gram Parsons was part of the Bird. Was the album that really made country rock a thing.
What year was that out?
Well, that was 68. That's why it's going to be 50 years.
No, sure.
Yeah. So Hillman and McGuinn are going to go out with Marty Stewart's band, which should be great, you know, like the perfect backing band. And so far they've only announced five cities, Los Angeles, Albany, New York. I'm sorry, three cities, Akron, Ohio. And then, but there are going to be more. I mean, you know, now that the word is out about this, there are promoters and venues just dying to make this part of the fall, and it should be a good show. Both of those guys are still really good performers.
Marty Stewart's like a music curator. He likes to preserve things, doesn't he?
Yeah, he and Buddy Miller down in Nashville. You know, those guys, they're musicologists as much as they're musicians.
Right. Whenever I hear him talk about music, he really is a student of music.
Oh, yeah.
He really, really likes music.
And a great performer. So, you know, whenever you get a chance to see him, you should, because it'll be a really special night.
Even those jackets are a little loud.
Well, but that's why not? You know?
Porter Wagner had nothing on Marty Stewart.
I think we've surpassed shock at loud jackets long ago. Hey, speaking of what you wear in laundry, we have a music festival here in our little town. Any reason Summerfest should take a cue from Bonnaroo and offer laundry service?
Yeah, this is great. So the Bonnaroo Festival, you know, down in Tennessee, one of the new services they're launching is an on-site free laundry drop-off.
What do? You bring your laundry
You take your mud cake laundry to this certain area on the festival grounds, and, you know, you get a ticket, and they'll do your laundry for you, and you pick it up a little bit later. Now, apparently, and it's a whole lounge, too. It's like 3,600 square feet. Now, they're saying 25 washers and dryers, which for a crowd of, I think, like 80,000.
That's not
enough. Doesn't sound like it's enough.
Yeah.
No, you'll also be able to, charge your phone. It'll be an air-conditioned lounge. There will be TVs. So.
It still doesn't sound big enough, Gary. It sounds like it's even smaller if they're going to offer these things with the washers and dryers.
It's the first year. I'm sure it's something that will evolve, but it is unique because, I've always felt that when you go to a festival like that, you know, he who wins is he or she who's muddiest when they come out at the end of it. But now I guess you'll be able to come out, squee, your whites will be white, your colors will be bright, you'll have had a great time at Bonnaroo, and you can bet that this will spread to other festivals.
Has it got a sponsor? Is Tide underwriting this and getting their detergent in there?
LG.
Who?
LG, the electronics company.
Oh, okay.
Which makes washers and dryers.
Yeah.
All right.
I have an LG washer and dryer.
Yeah, Summerfest is a different kind of thing because it's not a camping festival.
Right.
Like these are. So you can go home and do your laundry in your own washer and dryer.
Why is Dennis DeYoung so snarky about the Mr. Roboto deal?
Well, because he's a snarky guy to begin with. And, you know, the background here is Styx is the current version of Styx, which does not include Dennis DeYoung, is performing Mr. Roboto for the first time in its entirety since, I guess, 1983.
But when Styx was together and they came out with Mr. Roboto, the only guy who liked it was Dennis DeYoung.
Well,
all the other guys in the band thought it was going to get him killed.
Right. So, you know, it took on this weird, it became this Maginot line in Styx. And you were either on Dennis DeYoung's side or you were not. And the other guys in Styx were not, and quite vociferously so, and have been in the press for quite a while. So now here they are, you know, performing the song in its entirety again. So Dennis DeYoung took the opportunity to gloat on Facebook, and it's a long post because Dennis DeYoung tends to be long-winded like that. But he's basically, you know, talking about how amused he is, but also how validated he feels that these guys who basically forced him out of the band back in 1983 now have embraced this song. They said they hate it.
Maginot Line, nice reference to World War II there on the heels of D-Day.
What came out first, Mr. Roboto or Paradise Theater?
Paradise Theater was first.
Yeah, they should have bounced him after that one. They should have bounced him after Paradise Theater.
I liked Paradise Theater.
That album was so sappy.
Oh, settle down.
I'm sorry.
Settle down.
You know, we lost it with Babe, and that was after right after Paradise Theater, and then Kilroy just kind of took it down the drain. I'm sorry. I don't care how many cute car commercials it's in. Bad song.
Survivor. They're suing their former frontman?
Basically it's Frankie Sullivan, who's the guitarist and one of the songwriters. He's the only guy left in Survivor, really. So he has filed suit against David Bickler, who was one of the many singers in Survivor, for allegedly illegally using the band's identity to promote his solo career. And this goes on. We've talked about this most notably with Mark Farner, who got sued this year by the other guys who are currently Grand Funk Railroad. Basically, these guys go out and, you know, you see them billed as David Bickler of Survivor or Survivor's David Bickler. And usually when these members separate from the band, some sort of agreement is reached about how they can and can't use the band name in conjunction with their performances. And what often happens, Mark Farner has explained this to me often, is he'll book a show. And, you know, the promoters get the contract that say, here's how you can reference Grand Funk Railroad in relation to Mark Farner, but they don't follow that, and they'll bill it any way they want, up to and including calling it Grand Funk Railroad, or I'm sure in the case of David Bickler, some promoters go out and say, yeah, we've got Survivor. And so that creates problems with the band entity that owns the name.
You would think they'd sort of have to get all that ironed out, who owns the name and who's in the band and who works for who in the band, when they sign a record deal.
Well, that's interesting, you know, because some bands do. But, you know, usually they're all part of a corporation or a company. You form Survivor, Inc., you know.
Do they have a president and a treasurer? Isn't that required by law and stuff like that?
You know, in some cases they do. It depends how you structure it. You can structure it in a number of ways. You know, the band members are essentially the board of directors type of thing. And a good agreement outlines how decisions are made, you know, whether it's majority rules or two-thirds majority. And then that board of directors hires people like management and publicity and marketing to take care of those functions.
It's Made should do an episode on that.
How to make a band. Yeah, Don Felder thought they had it all squared away in the Eagles.
Well,
like, hey, we're all equal partners.
Well, they did. And, you know, they just had the wherewithal to, as we've talked about many times, to do what they did to him and to Joe Walsh and Timothy B. Schmidt. The difference was the other two guys said fine, you know, rolled over and said, fine, you know, please, sir, may I have another? Just give me my millions of dollars I still make from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on to some happier news, not all this
lawsuits,
male
laundry. Yeah.
Dave Grohl and his mom are working together. That's a nice story.
That is a nice story. You know, apparently Mama Grohl.
Dave Grohl, he's not only a great musician, you know, he's a great son, it seems like, too.
He's a great guy, period. But anyway, Dave and his mother, Virginia, are going to executive produce a documentary series based on a book Virginia wrote, From Cradle to Stage, it's basically interviewing moms of other rock stars.
Oh.
And so they're going to turn this into a documentary-style TV series. It's going to be, you know, each week's episode will be with some other rock star's mother.
You know what? I was thinking there can't be enough, film and video of young Dave growing up to support a documentary or documentary series. I just don't think it's possible. So they should have reenactors.
You could do
10-year-old Dave.
Something tells me there's going to be more material than you think.
Right. We're not going to get less material on these guys. They're younger and they grew up in front of cameras and YouTube and iPhones.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but when you're talking about some of the people who were in the book, like Dave or Tom Morello or Michael Stipe from REM or Mike Diamond from the Beastie Boys, you know, these guys grew up in the video camera age.
Sure.
You know, forget what we have now. Even just the video cameras are, you know, we'll make so much more footage, and there'll be plenty of photos. So, you know, I think this could be a lot of fun. It apparently, you know, they've not announced an alignment with a network or a cable outlet or streaming service yet, but you can bet they're lining up for it.
Yeah, I just think it takes a lot of footage, but then there's always, you know, there's not any moving pictures of the Civil War, but there's plenty of documentaries.
Look how good that was.
Right, there's always the moving picture of the still photo. You know, they do zoom in, zoom out, zoom across.
Rock kind of teased this before we went to spots a couple of minutes ago, but one, I didn't know there was a Moscow Walk of Fame Walk of Fame Stars.
Yeah, well, there's basically a Walk of Fame in a shopping mall that's called Vegas Crocus City. I'm sure it sounds better in Russian than that. But there is a Walk of Fame in the shopping mall, and, you know, last week Ozzy Osbourne was there to get a star on the Moscow Walk of Fame.
Why Ozzy in Russia?
I'm sure if you go by the Kremlin, where all those former Soviet premiers are buried, you would have on that day you would have heard some rolling. You know,
Ozzy doesn't really seem to fit the bill there.
You know, nothing would seem to be opposite of the old Soviet regime than Ozzy Osbourne getting a star on a Moscow Walk of Fame.
Did Snoop Dogg also get a star there once?
I don't see Snoop Dogg on this list. I see Carlos Santana, Robbie Williams, Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro, John Cusack. It all looks very random. It's kind of like celebrity in Moscow. Come, let's give you a star.
Are there famous Russian names on there? Or is this all just?
If there are, they're not telling us.
We don't know who they are.
I would hope there are famous Russian names.
Right, because if it's just a list of all these capitalists, you know.
Yeah, that would be a little. It would make a statement.
Yeah, it would. Not a good one for them, though. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, that seems pretty funny. Like I say, if you're talking about, you know, something that's as far afield from, you know, from Trotsky.
Right.
You can get, I think you're talking, you know, Ozzy would certainly be there.
Right.
All right. One more. Let's talk about some old school bands. Skinner is not going quietly. They're going to add a couple of dates to their farewell tour.
They're going loudly. They added another 21 stops to the farewell tour.
21 stops. That's a whole tour.
Usually
a
just whole tour. Add tour.
Yeah, you know, they're going to keep getting offers, and this is going to be one of those, you know, shows that never ends, tours that never ends.
All right. And finally, Kiss.
Yeah, Kiss going to do, Gene Simmons says they're getting ready to launch a 3-year extravaganza next year, not calling it a farewell tour, but, you know, other people are, you know, hypothesizing that it will be, but 3 years is 3 years, so they're going to go out starting in 2019. Kiss, by the way, was named one of the two loudest bands in the world in a new study that was done. They weigh in at number two, with playing at an average of 136 decibels at each of their shows, and this is just behind AC/DC with 139 decibels.
Well, the Who used to be
the
champs, right?
126. They're number four now.
Hmm. Well, who's three? We did one and
three.
Three
is Led Zeppelin and Motorhead.
Okay.
All right. Very good. All right, so, Gary.
All right. Don't forget the Tony Awards this weekend. Bruce Springsteen will perform. And it's still the best TV award show you'll see.
Okay.
All right. Gary, all right. Thanks for the time.
Talk to you next week.
Gary Graff, our music guy, every Friday morning around here.